group, the theme was singleness and marriage. And so the title, I want you to say to your neighbor, I want, you know, not the title, but say, I want to be the right person. Say to your neighbor, I want to be the right person. Okay? You know, the title is being the right person. And, you know, the focus with most of us is to make the right choice. We want to all make the right choice. When you're in high school, you want to make the right choice for college. When you're in college, you want to make the right choice for your major. As a single, you want to make the right choice for your future mate, you know, your spouse. And as a family, if you're married, you're concerned about making the right choice for your child or your children. And, you know, if you have a business, if you work for a company, making the right choice is a priority. That's why, you know, they will do all the research, look at the data, they will study it, and so that they can make the right choice. But when it comes to Christian life, as a Christian, making the right choice is important, but God puts an emphasis on becoming the right person more than making the right choice. Because I believe God's philosophy is, if you become the right person, you will make the right choice. Right? You will make the right choice. And as a Christian, you know, when we are so concerned about doing God's will or making the right choice, we're so afraid that we might make it, you know, make the wrong choice. For a lot of Christians, we tend to look for signs, you know. God, give me a sign so that, you know, I know how to make the right choice. Some Christians rely on dreams, right? Or a prophetic word or confirmation from other Christians, you know. You know, for example, when I was ministering to a lot of college students and young people a long time ago, they want to make the right choice for their future spouse, marriage partner. Right? It was on their heart, and so they want to make the right choice. And many of those students, when I look back, became charismatic. Okay? Charismatic. To make that right choice, they rely on signs, okay, dreams, and miracles, and prophetic word. See, when I was leading that church filled with young people, a college student would share with me, Pastor Sam, you know, I was praying about this person, you know, today. I was praying about this person this morning, and afterwards, I turned on the Christian radio, and the speaker was talking about marriage. Pastor Sam, yeah, marriage. But that's not it. I have my devotion, my daily devotion, you know. And this book, and today, I was reading and meditating on the daily devotion. Guess what passage you focus on, Pastor Sam? Ephesians chapter 5, where it was talking about marriage. Pastor Sam, God wants me to marry her. Okay, marry her. And in that church, there was also a very popular single worship leader in that church. And over the years, there were three women that came to me, told me that God spoke to them, that they're supposed to marry this worship leader. All right? And in my mind, somebody is wrong. Somebody didn't get the signal right. Okay? And in this church, there was this beautiful spiritual woman in this church. And over the years, there were like 5 to 7 guys who believed God spoke to them. That it was God spoke to them that God wanted them to marry this woman. And, you know, so with the guys, I told them, you know, you need to pray more. make sure it's not your hormone speaking, but it's the Holy Spirit. Just pray more. So when it comes to making choices, we rely on signs and dreams and prophetic word. But you know what the Bible says about that? You need to test everything. It's important to test everything. That's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14:29 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. 1 Corinthians 14, two or three prophets should speak. Okay, they're known as prophets. New Testament prophet is different from Old Testament prophet. You know, two or three prophets should speak, and the others who's hearing this should weigh carefully what was said. Weigh. Okay? And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Right? Test everything and hold on to the good. How do you know, in our church, how do we keep the prophetic ministry going? It says, how do you not put out the Spirit's fire? How do you have prophetic ministry be more anointed and catalyst? It's not believing every prophetic word or dream, every dream that you had. You need to really test the dreams. It might be, you know, is it because of the stress that you're going through that day? Is this something you ate? You got to test everything. Are you upset with somebody? Or you got to test the dreams. You got to test the sign. And it's through the testing you don't put out the fire. It's through the testing there's greater anointing in this supernatural ministry. You know, when it comes to making choice, it is, you know, we do want to make the right decision. It is important to make the right decision. But some of us depend on feelings alone. If it feels good, if it feels right, it must be God. But if it doesn't feel good, it's not God. And some depend on circumstances, you know, to make the right choice. If everything works out, if there's success, it is God. If the circumstance becomes hard, things are falling apart, things are going wrong, it is not God. I'm going through spiritual warfare. It's the devil. You know? But what the Bible emphasized, because, and this is important. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, about knowing God's will. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, he's urging you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, okay, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This passage does not focus on prophetic words to do God's will. It's not talking about signs. Look for signs so that you know God's will. It talks about someone who embraces the mercy of God, someone who worships God with their life, a person who does not conform to the world, don't conform to lies and sin and flesh and the old self, but is living a life of transformation, a life that's changing, a life that has a renewed mind. The focus is not on, again, choice, making the right choice, but becoming the right person. Okay? Becoming the right person. Someone who's conforming not to the world, but conforming to be more and more like Christ. And when you do that, it says you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing will. You know, in the world, we look for people, you know, maybe who has charismatic personality, someone who's so gifted and talented. And in the church, we look at someone, and you look at their life as you get to know them. There's immaturity in their life. There's selfish ambition. There's jealousy. There's envy. They lack love. There's control. They manipulate people. There's ungodly anger. But they're so talented. They could preach well, you know. Oh, they're so musically talented. Oh, they sing so well. They're so convincing with their words. They're so charismatic. And we look at that person and say, and it's humanly, and it's wrong to think this way, this person represents God. This person represents God. It is not the talent, it's not the charismatic personality that makes them represent God. It is their heart. Okay? To God, your heart is a priority. It's your character. It's focusing on what God is focused on. Becoming the right person in the eyes of God. Say to your neighbor, I want to become the right person in the eyes of God. James chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 17. James chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 17. James chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 17. Okay. Take out your phone. Okay. It says this. This is an important passage. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it. It doesn't say by their talent. Okay? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Wow. Verse 17, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all talented, no. First of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. It says, you know, God focuses on that. And in the heart, you could hide, you know, there's bitterness and envy. There's a major character flaw in this person. This person does not care about it because it's in the heart. You don't see it. Thinking that it's okay because I'm so talented and gifted and charismatic. The Bible says no. No. It's not from God. But it is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Okay, demonic. Wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. This passage is not talking about somebody who is perfect. Okay? It's not talking about that. But it's focused on somebody who is becoming the right person. Is important to this person. They are humble and teachable. They focus on their heart and they want to become more and more like Christ. It's not, I just want to preach. I just want to go to Africa, do missions. You know, I just want to lead worship. No, no, no. Instead of just that focus, you know, I need to be more gentle. You know, I need to be more kind. I need to be more loving. There's a person who sits there and think about that. You know, I should be more giving. And when you're not, it bothers you. It bothers you. All right? That's what God is focused on. All right? So what I want to do today, because again, the theme, I want to first focus on the singles. Okay. And then the married couples, because the theme is singles and married couple. And for the singles, I want to talk about finding the love of your life. Okay? Singles, you want to find the love of your life? Amen. Okay, you don't have to say anything. Okay? Well, and the theme, okay, of finding the love of your life is related to becoming the right person, not making the right choice. Okay. When you are seeking God's will in marriage, okay, and I say this because I minister to many young people, and I say this to help you, okay? When it comes to finding the future mate, don't spiritualize. Don't become spiritually weird. Okay, did you hear what I said? What? Don't spiritualize. Don't become spiritually weird. Okay? Hi. And again, what's important in marriage, you know, we look at the supernatural way God moved in marriage in the Bible. Like you say, look at Abraham, Isaac. No. They're terrible examples of family. Do you know that? They're terrible examples. What? Oh, look at Solomon, you know, the Song of Songs that he wrote. He's a terrible example. He had 1,000 wives and concubines. Huh? A terrible example. You gotta look at the teachings on marriage if you want to know what the Bible says on marriage. Okay? When you go to the teachings on marriage, the Bible focuses on being the right person. You will always see, love your wife. Respect your husband. Be gentle. All right? Don't be too harsh. Because when you get married, okay, prophetic words and signs and wonders is not what makes a marriage healthy. Right? I don't care how miraculously God moved in picking the spouse. It's not the miracle that makes a marriage healthy. It's the love. It's the respect that you have for one another. It's the grace that you show one another. It's being able to forgive when your spouse, it hurts you or wrongs you. How fast you forgive. It's the commitment that you have in your marriage that makes a marriage healthy. Huh? It's not the dreams. And so this is the advice that I give the singles. Right? This is the advice that I will give to my own children. Right? This is the advice that I will give to my own children as you are praying about marriage. Number one, be honest and mature about your feelings. Right? Be honest and mature about your feelings. Because when I was ministering to a lot of young people, they will share how God is giving them signs, you know, about marrying somebody. So I would ask them, are you attracted to this person? Do you like them? You know, a lot of times, you know what they told me? Pastor Sam, I'm just focusing on mission. I'm just minding my own business. And then God speaks to me, marry her. So are you attracted to this person? My feeling don't matter, Pastor Sam. I just want to do God's will. They're lying to me. They're lying to me. I know they were lying to me. Okay? And I want you to know, single, attraction is good. Right? You know, when you go to a junior high kid, do you like her? No. You know? And she goes and beats her up. You know? That's a junior higher. Right? But you're mature. And be honest about your feeling that you are attracted. Right? And that's how, you know, instead of going to somebody, you know, we need to get married. Why? Because God spoke to me. Instead of doing that, be honest. You know, you've been on my heart and my mind. I really find you very beautiful, and I'm attracted to you. Can we pray about starting a relationship? Instead of, God spoke to me, so you have no choice. You know, but you need to be honest, because relationship is very complicated. Right? There's a lot of feelings, and it's important to get a handle on that feeling, because it's not just attraction. It's very scary. Relationship is very scary. Right? And And a lot of time we spiritualize, not because I want to know God's will. It's because there's a lot of fear. The fear of rejection. And I want to say it's normal. Those feelings are normal. It's part of the relationship. But you got to be honest and mature about it so that you can work through those feelings. Okay? You got to work through those feelings and not spiritualize it. Amen? And this is very hard saying, you know, but I need to. Because, again, I did this. Would I say this to my own children? It's yes. Okay? It is yes. And this is important. The other person needs to be open to a relationship with you. Okay? And, you know, this is one of the reasons, you shouldn't spiritualize it. The other person, if they're not open to you, but when you spiritualize it, you could cross the boundary. There's a boundary there. You know, hey, you know, I don't care what you feel or you don't think it's God. I heard from God, you are wrong, and you're going against God now. Okay? And it is God's will that we get married. You cross the boundary. Marriage is about two people agreeing, becoming one. You don't force somebody to marry you, and you don't use God. You don't use God's name. Okay? It is, you know, if the other person don't feel the same way about you, it's painful. Okay? It is very painful. But don't use God. Win the other person, like I did, with your charm, character, personality, and heart, and confidence. Right? Yeah. Right, he jumped. Yeah, win the other person over, not with desperation, you know. Don't call them and hang up. Don't hide in their bush, okay? Don't stalk them. Desperation, I will say this to my own church, don't go there because it is very unattractive. It's very unattractive. You're going to lose them. You will. Right? But win the person over. What did I mean by character, charm, personality? Win the other person over by becoming the right person. Becoming the right person. And as you do that, that other person still doesn't respond. That's when I say, move on. Okay? You don't want to marry someone who don't feel the same way about you. Move on. Is it okay? Right. Now, there are warning signs that I need to talk to you, the singles, to watch out for. Okay? One of the warning signs is this. Right? So hard communicating with that person. You guys are always misunderstanding when you talk. You're constantly missing each other. You have to spend so much time explaining what you really meant. Okay? This is a sign. Maybe you weren't meant for each other. Hello? This is a sign. Maybe you weren't made for each other. And there are other warning signs. Okay? Like, another person, uncontrollable anger. They're super controlling. They're extremely jealous. There's an addiction in their life. You're finding them lying to you again and again and again. They're very selfish. Okay? Please be very careful when you find that. Be very careful. If you really love that person and you don't want to give up on that person, give some space first then. And challenge them, you need to work on this. And when you see them overcoming it, then, you know, you could try again. But if you see those signs, be very careful. You know, but if there's violence, physical violence in the person that you're dating, and I say this in love, break up with them. Don't go back to them. Okay? Best way to end domestic violence is not to marry a violent person. Amen? Now, I address the singles, and I want to address the married couples. Okay? And, I mean, as I was preparing, I had like 20 points to the singles and 20 points for the married couples. And it's just too much. So I narrowed it down to what I thought was important. Right? When you get married, okay, when you get married, what's going to happen is your past issue is going to come out in marriage. It's normal. Did you hear that? You know, only, you know, fairy tale. And they get married and it ends. But if there was another chapter, all their issues are coming out, okay? All their issues are coming out. You see, when you're single, your past issues, you can hide it, you know, through work, maybe through study or even through ministry, you could hide your past issue. I know that because I did that. You could hide it. Okay? But when you get married, this is what God's saying to you. You can't run away from your past issues. When you get married, your past issues will come to the surface, like father issues, mother issues, men issues, woman issues, your undealt with, you know, rejections in the past, your abandonment issues, abuse, trauma. Your greatest fears will come out to the surface and when you get married. Your insecurities, your pain, your hurt will come out when you get married. And I want to encourage you, God's plan, okay, is to heal you through the marriage. Right? The devil, though, there's going to be a spiritual battle. The devil comes to steal, destroy, and kill. But God is in your marriage to heal, to set you free, to restore, and to redeem. I want to hear an amen. Amen. Now, when it is coming to the surface, I give you one point, first point. Okay? This is important. Couples, this is important. Don't project to your spouse. Huh? Yeah. Don't project to your spouse. Right? It is pain. Pain's going to come out. But the pain needs to come to the surface for God to heal. But when it comes to the surface, what happens is we take it out on our spouse. Okay? Don't blame and take out your past issue on your spouse. When you get married, your past issues will come to the surface. Your childhood pain is coming out, okay? And this is good because God is saying it's time for healing. But the enemy's scheme to prevent you from healing is we feel the pain and instead of healing, we project it to somebody else, okay? And when your past issue, you know, And when the pain's coming out, the enemy prevents healing by making you blame somebody else. Instead of healing, you project, and in marriage, you project many times to your spouse. Huh? To your spouse. It's hard to see because it's so much pain. It's very difficult. But that's, Heejung and I, we did so many marriage counseling. We see it all the time happening. It happens all the time. The reason I say don't project is because, as your lead pastor, as a lead pastor of Catalyst, see, I'm a father figure and I'm an authority figure. Just by being a lead pastor, I automatically become a father figure and an authority figure. And here's the thing. Many people got hurt by their fathers. Okay, many people got hurt by authority figures. And sometimes, this is what happened. because of their past issue, and not again, I'm not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes, you know, as a pastor. But sometime they will project their past issue to me as a pastor. But the problem of projection, this is the problem. My heart is I want to help them. And I try to help them. But when they project their past issue to me, no matter how hard I try, I can't help them. It doesn't work. When I try to be good to them, you're just like my dad. It doesn't work. Instead of projecting, this pain's coming out in your marriage, it's time to identify the childhood pain. It's time to seek healing. It's time to seek counsel. And this is very hard. But this is what you got to focus on. It's time to fight the spiritual battle. Focus on who you are in Christ. Because projection takes a lot of energy, a lot of emotion. Right? It's a lot of work. And the enemy wants you to spend all your energy projecting instead of spending that energy seeking healing. Knowing your identity in Christ. Fighting the spiritual battle and becoming more like Christ. Amen? And again, Jesus modeled this for us. You know, he didn't project, but focus on becoming the right person. Jesus Christ, as a baby, can you imagine as a baby, the king of Israel tried to kill him? That's painful. He was born, you know? And the king of Israel tried to kill him. And throughout his life on earth, Christ was rejected. He was betrayed. He was misunderstood. He was criticized. He was spiritually attacked. People gossiped about him. People tried to kill him. At the end of his life on earth, Jesus was abused, tortured, spit at, and hung on the cross. And on the spiritual level, Jesus took all sin, all rejection, all abuse, all neglect, all abandonment, all trauma, all brokenness. Through it all, he didn't project. If he projected, I don't think he would have went to the cross. Right? Jesus modeled for us love, humility, grace, forgiveness, sacrifice, selflessness. Jesus did not project. Christ modeled for us what it means to become a right person. Okay, right person. And again, there were so many points that was coming to my heart, and it was just too much. So to be that right person in marriage, I'm just going to give you one suggestion, okay? To be that right person in marriage, just work on this. One suggestion, we could all do it in your marriage. Okay? Be thankful for your spouse. Okay, look at your spouse if you're married and say, I'm thankful for you. Look at your spouse. Say, I'm thankful for you. And this is my suggestion. Ephesians, look at the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. It says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. More than making the right choices, okay? More than trying to fix everything in your marriage, the Bible says, thankfulness is something you and I need to be consistent, constant, and continuous. That's what the Bible says about thankfulness. Some of you, you know, been married a long time, okay? And maybe you feel stuck in your marriage. And it's normal, okay? Especially if you've been married a long time. You feel you're stuck. And my encouragement, try to be thankful. Offer up thanksgiving for your spouse. Lift up thanksgiving for your marriage. Huh? Why? Romans 1 verse 21 says this. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. Now, this is somebody who knew God, but they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is somebody who knows God, but their thinking became futile, and heart were darkened. Meaning, they were going the opposite way of God. And this verse gives two reasons. They neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. And I believe catalyst, we want to glorify God with our life. So I want to focus on the second reason why their heart became futile. Okay? Their thinking became futile and their heart became darkened. Nor gave thanks. When they fail to respond in thanksgiving, thankfulness, you lose sense of purpose. Their life becomes more meaningless. There was more bondage instead of freedom. This is what this passage is saying. They were becoming less and less like Christ. And they were becoming more and more the wrong person. Right? The secret to marriage, okay? Again, it's not trying to fix everything, but becoming the right person. It's not finding the right person, but both together becoming the right person. And to become the right person, okay? This is something that we could do. And that's why I didn't want to give you 10 points. This is something that we all could do. Be thankful for your spouse. Amen?